Production support for Earth Eats comes from the Clean Bedroom, offering organic mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows, helping mindful customers create a sustainable and organic clean bedroom, step by step. New York City, Boston, and now Indianapolis. More at thecleanbedroom.com. From WFIU, I'm Kate Young, and this is Earth Eats.
Alice Waters' visit kind of just re-established the feeling that I already had, that schools should have gardens for their kids to be at least part of, to see the progression of growing things and being part of it. And then the restaurant being across the street just felt like a no-brainer.
This week on our show, we revisit a story from last year with Chef Erica Yoakum and a group of elementary school kids cooking from their garden. And Barbara Brozier from WFIU's news team brings us a story about Upland's barrel-aged beer. And we find out where they get the barrels. That's coming up on Earth Eats, so stay tuned. Alex Chambers has news for us. What's going on, Alex?
Hi, Kate. You might remember that report that came out this week on global warming. The UN's panel on climate change says on our current path, the planet is set to warm at least 1.5 degrees Celsius. If we want to keep it to that, we have to make serious changes in the next decade. The laws of chemistry and physics say it's still possible. It would just require changes to our agricultural and energy systems at a speed and scale that has no precedent.
That sounds challenging, to say the least.
Yeah. The good news on Earth Eats is that our stories this week are about some of the ways our food systems can respond and adapt.
All right, let's hear it.
A research team at the USDA Agricultural Research Service has developed several experimental strains of winter wheat that could boost the crop's nutritional value right in the field. With selective breeding, the team combined two key traits that could be integrated with existing crops. The breeding lines have high levels of protein and low levels of phytate, an acid that blocks the body from absorbing some nutrients. Nutrients have long been added back to products like flour and rice during processing to help fight preventable health threats like anemia and other deficiencies. But that method requires additional energy to extract or synthesize the nutrients and then add them during manufacturing. Fortifying plant crops can be done by selective breeding or by genetic modification. Many researchers around the world are working on ways to boost the nutritional value of staple crops as climate change and other pressures challenge food security. The results of the study show that researchers could create crops to increase minerals like iron, zinc, calcium, and manganese with little added cost to consumers. On the heels of the UN's warning that we have 10 years to address climate change, a study published this week in Nature says there is a solution: eat less meat. That's the simple answer for most people, at least. Scientists have known for a long time that meat production causes greenhouse gases, deforestation, and water pollution. But the study found that unchecked meat production will increase these effects by 50 to 90%. The problem then becomes twofold. As environmental degradation increases, the planet's ability to feed a growing population decreases. The global population is expected to increase by 2.3 billion people by 2050. Johan Rockström of the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research said it is possible to feed 10 billion people, but only if we change how we eat and produce food. The West needs to make the most drastic cuts. UK and US citizens need to cut beef by 90% and milk by 60%, and eat between 4 and 6 times more beans and pulses. Analysts say a meat tax could drive people to eat less of it. Marco Springman, who led the study, said people could make a personal difference by changing their diet, but they could also knock on their politicians' doors and say we need better environmental regulations. He insisted that people should not let politicians off the hook. And that's the news. Thanks to Chad Bouchard and Taylor Killo for those stories.
you've been down the beer aisle lately, you've probably noticed the growing number of barrel-aged beers. The popularity of this type of beer means there's more demand for used barrels. As WFIU's Barbara Brozier reports, that's creating new business opportunities for distilleries and turning an underground industry mainstream.
As you step into Upland Brewing Company's wood shop in Bloomington, it quickly becomes clear where the building got its name. Upland President Pete Batuli stands toward the back end of the shop, where wooden wine barrels line the walls from floor to ceiling.
A lot of our growth the last couple of years has come from our sour program and barrel-aged beers.
Upland opened the wood shop 2 years ago to help support its growing sour ales program. Unlike other styles of beer, brewers purposely introduced wild yeast or bacteria during the fermentation process. That's what gives sours their tangy flavor. And wooden barrels are an essential component. Upland formed a partnership with Oliver Winery more than a decade ago, trading a few cases of beer for a few wine barrels. Batuli says they use them as fermentation vessels.
So the microorganisms live inside the wood, and we need the barrels to really be kind of neutral. We don't want a ton of flavor. We just need a vessel for this really amazing fermentation.
But you can also find some barrels at Upland's production facility, where it brews its clean or non-sour beers. Zach Allgood is the head brewer here. He uses spirit barrels to add unique flavors to certain brews. Bourbon barrels are most common, but he even has beer aging in a couple of peated scotch barrels.
Typically, spirit barrels, the alcohol content is high enough that there's nothing in there that can contaminate the beer. And we will just fill those barrels with fermented beer and let it sit, typically 6 months to a year. And after about 6 months, we'll start tasting them, seeing where they are and making the decision on whether these beers are done yet or whether they need more time to mellow out.
In addition to Oliver, Upland has a good relationship with a few Kentucky distillers. So oftentimes getting a barrel is as easy as making a phone call. But they can be much harder to find for breweries that don't have those relationships.
It's like becoming a detective to try and find it.
That's Noah Steingraber. He's in charge of national and international craft sales for Kentucky Bourbon Barrel in Louisville. He fields a lot of calls from brewers around the world looking for specific barrels. It's his job to track them down using his network of contacts. When they first arrive, coopers inspect them. Then they make any necessary repairs, a job that requires great skill and strength. The coopers work in the middle of a giant warehouse, replacing the wooden staves or metal hoops on the barrels. While most of the barrels they repair held bourbon or whiskey, Steingraber says brewers are increasingly on the hunt for more unique vessels.
So it's interesting to see how it's continued to evolve, not just from bourbon, but into other barrels such as wine, rum, tequila, maple syrup, hot sauce. You know, there's so many different things out there.
The cost of buying barrels can add up quickly, with some running well into the hundreds of dollars. Like with most businesses, it's cheaper to buy the barrels in bulk. But many brewers don't have the necessary capital or the storage space. That's creating an opportunity for more regional and local partnerships between beverage makers. Hotel Tango in Indianapolis makes several different spirits, including bourbon and whiskey. Founder and CEO Travis Barnes says they recently started partnering with local breweries.
We learned early on that, one, we didn't have a very big marketing or advertising budget, and this was an easy way and an effective way to get our name out among folks that wouldn't necessarily have ever heard of us.
The distillery is getting an increasing number of requests for its used barrels, and while acting as a broker isn't something master distiller Eric Stauffer says they initially planned for, it's mutually beneficial.
We'll provide them with some of our bourbon barrels for use in aging things like porters or stouts or IPAs, and then on the backside, we will then get some of those new barrels back and age some of our bourbons. We'll finish them then in some of the porters or the stouts barrels that we would get from the breweries.
It's an opportunity he expects more distillers will start raising their glasses to. For WFIU News, I'm Barbara Brozier.
While barrel-aged beers are popular, The Brewers Association says hoppy beers like IPAs are the primary driver of growth in the craft beer industry. Production support comes from Charles Schwab & Company, Incorporated, whose local branch is now located at 1155 College Mall Road. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, and team offer personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. And Need More Coffee Roasters, a woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world. Offering signature drinks, teas, and little eats, located on Pete Ellis Drive, needmoreroasters.com. Here at Earth Eats, we're all about connecting to where our food comes from. The more we know about the processes behind the food we eat, the more we can make our food choices our own and begin to shape the kind of food system we'd like to see. If that awareness can start at an early age, just imagine the possibilities for the future of food. That's where school gardens come in. This week, we take a look back at a story from last fall at Templeton Elementary School in Bloomington, Indiana. We're visiting a unique multi-age classroom with three teachers and students from kindergarten to sixth grade. On Thursday afternoons in this classroom, students get to choose an activity from a range of options called invitations. Some of the activities are led by invited guests, some are student-led. Anything from origami to great artists to native plants. One of the activities this week is cooking with Erica. Erica Yoakum, chef and owner of a local restaurant, Feast, is making watermelon smoothies with a group of kids using ingredients from their own school garden.
Do you know where these watermelon came from?
I think our garden is where they came from.
And it took like 5 months to grow. It took forever.
They ended up with a total of 5 fairly good-sized watermelons. They planted the watermelon in the spring semester and harvested it last week.
Look at this watermelon you guys grew in your garden!
That one looks really good.
Whoa, oh my god, gorgeous. Oh my god, it smells so good.
They start by prepping the garden fresh watermelon.
And then you guys can all come over here, and then we'll seed them and get them in small pieces. Yeah,
can
you do that? But I'm going to cut the watermelons in half, and then you guys are going to scoop out all the yummy stuff and get rid of the seeds.
Okay.
On the table or here?
I think I'll cut them here and use your spoon to scoop pieces off into your bowl.
Okay.
So step one is processing the watermelon, and then what are you, you're going out to the garden?
We're going to go out to the garden and pick the last of the basil, and hopefully there's some mint out there. And then we're just going to blend that with some ice.
Sounds good.
They're pretty sweet on their own, so I don't even know how much honey we need to add.
Someone scoop these seeds that are all right there, because you're doing a good job at separating them all.
I love this.
There's just a lot of seeds in this one.
There's barely any seeds in here.
It's hard to get the watermelon out.
Here, use some of this.
Yoakum's daughter, Nina Williams, is assisting her today, helping the kids scoop the watermelon.
Fingers, and then scrape all of the meat out.
So we're supposed to, like, get the black seeds out?
Yeah.
And, like, because they're bigger.
I need help getting all these seeds out.
We're kids. We're not professional cookers. We don't go out and cook the watermelon shakes for the singer.
I cook pancakes for my
So good.
What did you taste?
We tasted some watermelon that tastes really good.
Oh,
watermelon came from?
The garden.
As soon as you get your watermelon clean, we're going to head to the garden.
Don't let the saints get
in. I'm trying to get some
basil.
That'd be good.
We need to take out the
It's time to head out to the garden for a few more ingredients.
Really strong and can carry one of these.
I feel really strong.
The whole way there.
I'm a football player.
Got it? One?
I don't.
I play hockey, so I can do this.
I play hockey.
Come on, I play football.
Maybe halfway you can switch.
First, they drop off the watermelon rinds in the school compost bins.
Wait, which one do we put it in?
And you just dump it.
Wait, no, except this one.
This one?
This one right here.
No. Oh, wait.
This one? Put this back in the bin. Okay, everyone stay here for just a second. I want to tell you, what are we going to the garden for? Do you remember? Mint and basil. Does everyone know what those look like?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's find them together.
Wait, in the garden or just out here?
One of the classroom teachers, Kevin Gallagher, is already out in the garden with a group of kids. They're cleaning up the green bean bed.
Mint and basil.
I found it.
Okay.
I found it.
What's that?
That's not.
Mint and basil.
What's that?
This is the tomato plant.
Yoakum is familiar with the garden. She's been helping families and teachers maintain the garden by showing up for work days in the summer.
There's a little bit of basil back there. There's some mint back there, too.
Basil
yep.
And mint. Not tomatoes today.
Don't pick this because this isn't mint.
Is this That's mint? Lemon balm.
Yep.
Can I smell it?
What have you got there?
Those are the ground cherries.
Ground cherries.
You can only pick the yellow ones, not the green ones because they're not ripe yet. There's only a couple yellow ones.
That smells good.
What have you got there?
I have some mint and some lemon balm.
What's it smell like?
Mint, it smells like mint. But lemon balm kind of smells like lemon cleaner.
Are you not... You're not going to put the lemon balm in the smoothie, are you?
No, we're not.
Good.
I think we have enough mint.
Yeah, we have enough mint.
Here's mint.
Do basil?
You pick basil.
Good.
Okay, anyone that was making watermelon shakes, let's go back and make them. Ready?
They've got the herbs and ground cherries. Now it's back to the classroom.
Delicious. The onions are delicious. Ooh, they should serve them at Feast.
We need to get the ground cherries out of their little papery shells so
the hiding
people
spot?
Can peel the ground cherries and you can throw them right in with the watermelons. Just the cherry part, not the paper.
And then
they had to go there.
Where are these?
I want
the
ground cherries.
Oh.
You want to try one?
Can you try them?
Huh? You want to try one?
Can I help?
I'll let you have one.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'll go
yeah,
ahead.
Sure.
Can I help pour in the honey?
You can be the first one. We're going to make a few batches.
When cooking with kids, everyone wants a turn at each and every part of the process.
Laura, come over here and you can put some watermelon in.
Rihanna,
you can grab 5 strawberries.
Can I grab some strawberries?
You can grab some of the herbs.
Oh.
Over here, some of the basil.
Yeah,
here.
Can I
put
some basil in?
Up to number 32. After she puts a little bit of the watermelon in.
Yeah. I have a piece of ice. Here's a blue spoon.
They fill the blender with watermelon, strawberries, ground cherries, mint, basil, honey, and ice.
Okay, push that button again.
Finally, they get to try it.
Is it good?
We'll keep making more. Okay.
Mmm. So great. That mint really blends in with it. I want another. So bad.
They took our stuff kindly.
You like it?
Very, very, very much.
Very much.
So what did you think? Did you really like it?
Yeah. Yeah, I loved
it. It's really, 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 really good.
It's really good.
You liked it?
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite part of making it?
Going to the garden.
You like going to the garden?
Yeah.
Cooking together allows for great conversation.
I actually thought it was going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because it looked fun the first few times that we did it.
It's always fun when you make food. Mm-hmm. Then you can eat it.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
I loved it when I was a two-year-old because I would get out a big bowl and I would just put a whole bunch of random things I found in the kitchen in it. And then I would put water and milk in it. And then
I did that too, actually.
And I would put a whole bunch of random things I found in the kitchen
in it. You made like soup?
Yeah.
Did you eat it?
No.
Neither did I.
Not that dumb.
Go ahead.
I asked kindergartner Phoenix Gordon if she had done cooking with Erica before.
Yeah.
What did you guys make?
We make some vegetables with some salsa.
Oh, you made salsa. Did you get to taste it?
You always eat it, but you get like a smell.
It was good.
Erica Yoakum started the garden-to-table sessions in the classroom this fall. What other things have you made with the kids this year?
So we started out making salsa with all the different cherry tomatoes, and we put ground cherries in the salsa. We've been putting those in everything. And they had some nice jalapenos growing in the garden, so we did jalapeno and basil, I think we put in, and some of the mint, too. And then the next week we made pesto with all the basil, and we got the garden or the garlic that was curing in the shed, which was great. This week we did our watermelon shake, and I think we're gonna do something with pears next week. I don't know what though, something that doesn't involve an oven. There's green beans too, I think, unless they got those, so we might do something with green beans.
So how long have you been working with the kids at Templeton?
About a month now. It's been really fun. They're the most excited sous chefs I've ever had.
And what inspired you to get involved?
Definitely Alice Waters' visit kind of just reestablished the feeling that I already had that schools should have gardens for their kids to be at least part of, to see the progression of growing things and being part of it. And then the restaurant being across the street just felt like a no-brainer. So.
Should I put more water on? Yeah, all the way up to number 32. Who hasn't put anything in the blender yet? Okay, you've been cutting those, so you're going to do the honey, okay? This is just the first time we're going to run the blender lots of times, because we have to make some for everybody.
Oh no!
Can I help with four find a cup.
Now remember, this multi-age classroom has three teachers and kids from kindergarten to sixth grade. The total number of students is 71. The group wants to offer a sample to each child in the classroom.
Eight times six equals 48.
Once the watermelon smoothie is poured into the cups, the kids in the group start distributing to the students in the other rooms who are working on different projects.
You can, everyone that made one, you can try it.
That whole room has smoothies.
Layla Burgess was working on a cat painting in the K-2 room and had this to say about the watermelon smoothie.
I thought it was like good with the mixtures of mint and honey in it.
Here's sixth grader Ella Pierce.
My hands haven't been covered in a watermelon until today.
How's it feel?
It feels pretty good.
An update on this piece, which first aired last October on Earth Eats. Chef Erica Yoakum organized a fundraising dinner to benefit the school garden. As a result,
the teachers had new raised beds built in the garden, which turns out are a lot easier to maintain. The students in the classroom have enjoyed several dishes from the garden already this school year. And full disclosure, my son used to be a part of this classroom, and I've helped out with this garden. We've got the recipe for watermelon shakes at eartheats.org. That does it for Earth Eats this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks also to Aabon Binder, Chad Bouchard, Alex Chambers, Mark Chilla, Taylor Killo, Daniel Orr, everyone at Farm Bloomington Restaurant, the IU Food Institute, and Harvest Public Media. Special thanks this week to Barbara Brozier, Erica Yoakum, Nina Williams, and everyone in the K-6 classroom at Templeton. Earth Eats theme music is composed by Aaron Toby and performed by Aaron and Matt Toby. Additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Our executive producer is John Bailey. I'm Kate Young, and I produce the show. Thank you for listening, for subscribing to our podcast, and for leaving reviews. We love hearing from you. Feel free to send us an email, eartheats@gmail.com. Production support comes from The Clean Bedroom, offering organic mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows, helping mindful customers create a sustainable and organic clean bedroom step by step. New York City, Boston, and now Indianapolis. More at thecleanbedroom.com. Charles Schwab & Company Incorporated, whose local branch is now located at 1155 College Mall Road. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeigner, CFP, and team offer personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. And Need More Coffee Roasters, a woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world. Offering signature drinks, teas, and little eats, located on Pete Ellis Drive. NeedMoreRoasters.com.